This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to NaturePact podcast, where we are speaking with entrepreneurs and investors about the green future. Today, my guest is Simona Šmiliūtė from Lithuania. Simona, to start off with, tell me how your road into this kind of environment and the green future started.
Hello, everyone. Very complicated question, because actual answer is very, very brief. I have a feeling that it was in my genes. And because since I remember myself, I was the one which was always like took care on three-legged kittens, as I am telling and I am joking. But basically, if to go to more seriously, since 1992, I stepped into business. Into very traditional business. It was not like I'm not so old. I was 12 at that time, but actually very difficult situation was in my family because of one accident, and I needed to grow up within one night, actually within 1 hour, let's say. And I overtook my daddy's business, which was in a very, very non-womanish sector. It was production and sales of spare parts for trucks.
12-year-old girl.
Yes.
Wow.
The situation was that my daddy just, we didn't know he will survive or not. We didn't know if he will manage to go for a walk again or not, or he will stay like a vegetable with a working head. But he just asked me, and my mom is designer, and he just asked me, darling, will you become my legs and arms? And I definitely said yes. And this is how I stepped into that business, and this is how I stepped into all the tech world, let's say, not only tech like engineering, but tech and computers and computer sciences, because before that we still didn't have computer, but this was the situation that opened gates or opened the possibility for me to learn and to step into that. So actually then I started to help him to be his hands and legs. I started to understand what we are doing. I'm telling we. And we were producing ear springs for brakes, and it was with asbestos. And you imagine what does it mean? It's very, very polluted material. And being 12 years old girl, I asked, Daddy, but why we are using asbestos? It's polluting. Why I asked this question? Don't ask me, please. It's the most complicated. But it came from inner me. Why? And imagine when I was 12 and a half, we produced the first series of non-asbestos ear springs for brakes. And actually, it was totally the first production house in Europe and in the region when we supplied to a market with totally different and pretty environmental friendly, I would say, if to compare with those times. From personal part, I always cared about everything. Mm-hmm. About, as I said, like free-legged kittens, about if any human needs help. So despite it's 2 a.m., I am the first in the line to help. It's like coming somehow from inside. And my engineering spirit and being daddy's daughter brought me somehow to match that. And then I came into, I was very, very interested in everything what is tech for good. And actually 10 years I spent in the company with my daddy. Later on, I decided that all those brakes and spare parts smells very bad for me. I said to him, you're so tolerant to everybody and you give so many critics. It was a feedback. It was not critics. You are giving so many critics to me. I'm tired of those your spare parts. It's smelling so bad for me. And he was so smart. He said, yeah, sure, but the bread is tasty, right? And another tip, he said, of course, leave. I'm very happy that you took the decision to go and learn to do business with someone's money. Later on, you will learn, you will come back, and we will do the business together. And I left. And then I jumped into, it was after my university, after my bachelor degree already. I was hired by a very big shopping center, shopping and entertainment center in my native city in Kaunas. And I was marketing, head of marketing. It was very complicated as a case because it was a shopping center with no name operators, 100% filled like with operators with 10 years agreement. And actually I do not have any reason how to invite and why my customers should join, should come and should buy something. It was really, so my task was to somehow to make very big flows to the center for us and for management team to be able to change operators. And here I come, in Lithuania, it was not a case at all, like cause marketing. Mm-hmm. In America, it was, Uncle Ben's was one of pioneers who did that. But I even didn't know that. But again, as I am very visionary and I'm always trying to do, like, to connect unconnectable things and to propose a solution mm-hmm. or some kind of opportunity, I started to organize a lot of like exhibitions with kids, pets, holidays, wherever. Mm-hmm. I started to increase loyalty and established some prices and etc., which was for a very good cause. And we reached 15,000 people per day, and this is how we're able to start changing operators. So actually, everything what I did, it was like always the cause and the purpose was behind. Since 2009, I was one of pioneers with a small group of my friends at that time and entrepreneurs as well, started startup entrepreneurial ecosystem in Lithuania. We organized the very first event, Startup Week in Lithuania. If you know TechStars, we are supporting this.
And you know that one of the founders of Startup Weekend is actually living in Estonia.
Now I know. So I'm one of the first Lithuanian Startup Weekenders. So since then, one, my leg is always in startups. But you remember, 2009, in our region, nobody talks about sustainability or impact or all those things. And me always was, and even as a mentor, okay, but what is the, okay, but how society will win? Okay, but what is the impact? And everybody from traditional business, Simone, again, with that impact. But as I came from traditional business and from very manage business. Mm-hmm. I don't want to diverse, but anyway, in that time it was that diversity, we should say, in our region, right? And they accepted me. They accepted me as alien, as a stranger who is talking about impact. But it's okay, it led her, because everything else what she's doing, anyway, there is a profit. So let her talk about that. So I was always, since I started to work with startups, always was impact behind. And in 2 years, I have launched ChangeMakerZone, which is the network, which is the community.
How does it work? What is it? Like, as a community?
The network, yeah, which is creating tech for good products.
Okay.
Let's say. So now we have plenty of brands and plenty of accelerators, plenty of hackathons going on. But then we were like a little bit considered like all those social businesses, like outsiders, I would say. Mm. But I see that my key success factor was that I came from traditional business. I had very long experience in that. So they accepted me, and then I invited all VCs, invited all engineers, IT people, educators, scientists, and etc., for to bring together totally different people to co-create. And this is how we launched the very first hackathon, which became annual. Then we made a boot camp, which became annual. And the boot camp, it's already for fast tracking. The hackathon is for to build sustainable business model. Then boost camp is for MVP. And then later on. So actually the community started to grow. And it was totally my giving back to the society. It was not business. It was not monetized anything. It was always like bringing our resources together with partners, with supporters, with mentors, experts. Everybody is bringing together. So we made our events in castles, in most expensive areas. If I would calculate how much money we need to organize such events, we would talk about millions. But everything was for free for selected participants. Everything was sharing, and everything was, we are each for another. So this is how
all of those events, is there any kind of born success stories?
We have plenty products in the market.
Any examples? I mean,
we can talk about a lot of examples, but okay. Let me think which one could be the best to mention from. Okay, we can talk from the very very social, let's say, product. It was and right now we have more and more seniors coming to our population, right? Because of our global issues. And at that time, especially in our region, nobody thought about that. Then you become senior, you're I would say life level decrease a lot. Even if you was somebody, if you haven't earned, or if you haven't made big investments, you need to low down your expectations, low down your needs, low down everything. At the same time, it is not that everybody, there is a couple. Kids now are living everywhere in the world, right? Some people even saw the grandchildren just through video. And it's not, the life, it's not the same as it was 20 years ago, let's say, for seniors and for grandparents. And if one of them pass away, another is very lonely. And it doesn't mean that you are 95. It means might be you are 69 or might be you are 72, but you still feel lonely. Okay, you can choose live alone, and feel that loneliness, you can choose, but the quality, it goes down immediately, because we do not have, okay, now it's increasing and I'm happy about that, but before, we didn't have it. If you go to, like, European countries or to United States or to other, countries, but not post-Soviet Union countries, I mean, there are plenty of cafes and restaurants of seniors, and we are so, like, oh my God, we are so nice, so beautiful, so straight, so self-confident, so there's no any self-esteem, how to say, decreased level of self-esteem. And in our region, we had that, okay, you need to, okay, if it, you are senior, you are retired, you do not go to restaurant because you can't let yourself to do that. You do not have enough of resources to do that. And so one of our entrepreneurs, she proposed a very nice solution. And it was like the home for seniors which are lonely. What does it mean? She bought the big apartment building, repaired it, and as a senior, for example, you live alone, you have your flat anywhere, whatever, in a village or in a small city or in a town, you give that flat as a rent, I would say, but it's not the rent, to the owner of that business. She repairs it, she rents, and this rent goes for to pay your room in co-living for seniors. So now already we, she is building the third one, and immediately she just opened the call that now we are inviting seniors again to apply. 100% occupancy, 100% occupancy. And then you are making, of course, you need a lot of, you need psychologists, you need a lot, you need medical care at the same time. But then in that co-living, we have totally different life quality. So this is one of very nice examples, which is very simple, very understandable for non-high tech, blah, blah, blah. It's always in the very green area. We even grow their vegetables and fruits themselves. They cook together. They serve each other. We have a lot of talks together. We have events. We have social life, which disappeared before it disappeared. And now we still have it.
So, is it in Kaunas, Vilnius?
It's in Lithuania.
Yeah.
No, different, different locations.
Okay.
It's more, more. It's close to big city, but in the small village.
Okay. Okay.
Makes there sense. We have a lot of nature, a lot of like,
makes a lot of sense.
A lot of, yards in the garden. For to be able as well to go
from game changers onwards, what have you been working in the recent years mostly?
What do you mean?
Like what's taking your time?
Oh my God. Okay, so I have two legs, but
most
I think,
of us do, but not all.
Yeah, but I think that in, I have still two more invisible ones. Okay, so one part, as I said, is startups world, right? And especially everything what goes on the tech for good sector. And this is my giving back to the society. Another leg is very focused already for more than 10 years to, now we call it ESG. So I help corporates and small businesses to build their sustainability strategy and to implement it. The thing which I am worried always about is that we still have a lot of companies, a lot of businesses which could be game changer, but actually we are doing things just because it is a must, or we do because they will look better, or we do because the marketing will become better. So my task, my challenge is to help them to find the motivation. As my background, I'm an economist. So my challenge is to help them to find the motivation why we want to do that, to find the profitable line at the same time, and to go through processes how we can win not only the marketing solutions, but how we can win for their growth, for their scalability, for their trust, for everything. But
somebody in this show has also said that even greenwashing is actually good, because it will actually put those things on people's minds and the agenda, even if their actions on the background are not fully comprehensible or fully as they are said to be.
I do agree at some point, but if you start to go deeper into greenwashing, there are so many types of greenwashing, right? And definitely, my challenge is always, because for me, the most important is people, because people are behind everywhere. And before we do not, everything is about relationships, about transparency, about openness each to another. The thing I really hate when people start to manipulate each with another. At the end of the game, all these lies is on the table. And at the end of the game, we lose our reputation, we lose our self-esteem, we sometimes do not know who we are and why we are for. So if we really stick to that, first of all, I am very open to myself, and I am not afraid to have my own opinion, and I accept me as I am, and I accept you as you are, and it doesn't matter that we do not share the same opinion on this water bottle, but we can still live together and we can agree where we want to go together. And might be, in this case, I will bring this water and you will bring the carbonated water. So the first of all is about that. But here, when we are talking about greenwashing, because you touched that point, I have a feeling that ESG reporting, on one hand, it will help, because when you are starting to measure, then you are starting to document it. All those fake criteria become very visible. Because when you are telling as a story, and you do not need to document, you can manipulate a lot of things. Then you need to report, you need to set up somehow very concretely, and you need to go down a little bit and agree, okay, this is what we do, this is what we do not do, this is what we agree for, this is what we do not agree for. So I think this is the core.
In one of the episodes recently, we had a company called OpenESG, which is basically solving kind of with an open source approach a lot of challenges of the ESG reporting. And in some of the episodes, we have had people in the show who have been talking about the massive amount of basically high-paid jobs in the big corporations for the ESG reporting. If the same amount of money would go back straight to the nature, so much more could be done. I mean, I think those ESG jobs are probably needed for those companies to actually start changing their routes. But at the same time, you know, what's the kind of logical cost base there?
I'm very happy that you touched this, because then we are talking about ESG. Almost everybody are focusing and sticking to environmental part. But still we have social and governance, right? And when I said before that for me, people matters a lot, and for me, people is the starting point. So then I am talking about ESG, and then I am helping companies to build their sustainability strategies and ESG strategies, now we call it. So I'm always starting from, first of all, this is me, like wherever you are, this is your first circle, another circle, the third circle, and etc. Relationships among. Then we do have governance. One is the leader is telling you must, another when we agree what we want to do, and then definitely environment is like a background, right? That's why I'm always talking about, I'm advocate of life-centric business, centric business models. And if we start to copy environment a little bit, we do not have a lot of problems which we have right now, right? And if we base our values and the way we act and the way our behavior in the company and among ourselves, we base it on life principles. If we base it on life principles, we do not have so many problems for competition. Because even being in the same company, especially when we are talking about corporates, there are so many competition inside. Despite that we have agreed about values, despite that we are ambassadors of their companies, despite all that, there is that invisible factor. Then you are saying, yes, we go together, but
Everybody does their own thing eventually.
Exactly.
Happens to many
so
companies.
For me, social is about you act, you do what you say. You say what you think. You think what you feel. It's like from feeling to somebody's ears. And just like this, we can start hearing ourselves. And if we base our all approaches on life principles, again, we do not have problems. I really am a fan of biomimicry as well, because actually, and I'm not talking about engineering part and about the design part that we can copy a lot from the nature, even we can, but I'm talking about the behavior. If you take communities, right? Ants, birds, lions, just name it. And just let's take a look how self-organized they are and how we share their tasks, how we share their responsibilities, how we take responsibilities, how we know how to give the responsibility. And this is where we really, as people, as humans, we really have such problems. We have bugs. We have fails. Because with all our control freakness, not being able, I would mention this word, being able to pass the responsibility. How I can accept, how I can take on me if you are not passing it to me.
Exactly. How could we push this life-centric business more into the kind of global business world?
Because little by little is coming. Now it's might be you heard the term, it's regenerative organizations, self-organized organizations, decentralized business models, and etc. The thing is that then everything is starting. It is as in business, MVP, right? First of all, and definitely MVP is like, first of all, in the lab, then we test it on very like A/B testing, then we have a small group of people, then the next market, and next market, and next market. Then something is just coming. In the very, very beginning, all this, those groups looks like aliens and a little bit outsiders, what I told them about, about myself, how I felt sometimes. But thanks God, I do not have problems with self-esteem, so so I neglected it.
Yes.
But yeah, so even this group is really, really, I'd say, more and more people, they're switching their mindset. They really listen what heart is telling, and they want to change their behavior, or they have changed already their behavior. Not all of them, or the minority of them, are already enough brave to talk and to tell what we talked just before. Yeah. Like, if I really think, why I am afraid to tell this? Why I am afraid to stand up? Because it is a fear. And again, we go back to the psychology. First of all, we fear to show, to tell, to act, and not to work in a, how to say, background, just to show that it works and it could work. I wouldn't like to touch all those political questions, right? But the fear definitely is connected with that part as well.
Absolutely.
But anyway, if you really want to have this ESG really working, not must to work or must to report, but really from passion, from heart, we really need, first of all, to somehow to help ourselves, to help myself, to help everybody who is close to me, and to help ourselves to forget about, to overcome fears, to let fears go. And I'm quite empathetic. I really feel people, and I feel what inner strength you need to have not to be afraid to tell your opinion loudly. You can tell, then you know that everybody is more or less in the same position, right?
Yeah.
But if you are, let's say, let's imagine we have 10 events going on. All 10 events are opposition, right? And we are 10 people, and we delegate each to each another to one in one event. And okay, go and tell our position. Do you think how many of them definitely will stand up?
Depends on the culture and the aggressiveness of the audience, I think, among Estonians. I mean,
yeah, Ukrainians would stand up. For sure.
Yes, thankfully they would. That's the thing, definitely. Estonians, of course, too, but not as many or as eagerly.
Yeah, it's not only one is definitely culture, another is personal skill, not skills, but personal culture.
Yes.
You are introvert, extrovert, and etc. But you know, where I see the problem, that just the minority of people until now, but I hope that it will change. Sometimes when we have different opinion, because of self and confidence, stand up for us means like, I need to fight. We still need to learn to share, to tell. And me, I have this term, I just share my point of view. I don't sell it. I don't want you to accept it or to change your point of view. I just share and ask you to accept me with this point of view.
Exactly.
And if we want a discussion, we can discuss. Never is white or black. All approaches have and white and black. And I am sure that in this discussion, we always can find a middle.
Of course, absolutely. I think it's really interesting, this whole life-centric business approach. I mean, the show is called Nature Backed, which is by definition a life-centric approach,
just
right?
Copy nature and we will have zero waste, we have circular everywhere.
Exactly. You know, in a way that, you know, if the economy would more copy their nature, if they would work more closely hand in hand, things will be better.
But, you know, very philosophically talking, if we really turn off our mind and our brains in any question and just listen to what we feel and what is the gut feeling, let's call it gut feeling, or what our heart is telling, all of us, we have this intuition. And as nature knows itself how to act, we as human, we know it as well. But our sharp mind always play games, and then we are in the trouble. And but the fun fact, when I started to go deeper and deeper to biomimicry in general and to all nature things and what we can learn from nature, not only from behavior as well, not only from engineering part, right? I found out, like, it was not like found out, but it was like for me, okay, flashback. During all the civilization, we as humans, we wanted to prove ourselves that we can. What we did, we created a lot of things which we do not need. We created consumerism and a lot of things like this. But we spoiled so much. And if we go back, what we are doing right now, with our innovations now, we are going back where we came from. Because we had everything. We had all glass bottles, all those reusable things, and etc. We never had 2,000 of shoes. We always produced all machineries, equipment, whatever you want for to last long. We didn't need even warranty terms.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. And now we are trying to copy nature. But we had those copies before.
Yep. Yep.
So for me, it's a very funny fact that we called innovations what we did during civilization. Now we are going totally, totally back to our roots, and we call it innovations.
Yeah.
Sustainable innovations. Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so it's, for me it's so fun. Like, just we need to go back to our ancestors, and that's it.
Now in the fall, late 2023, you know, looking forward, what are your next big missions or what are the next big milestones? What you want to do over the coming months or years? Before moving to this old people institution.
No. I have more very good startups now, okay, for the seniors. So
you're well prepared.
But longevity is one of topics which interests me as well, and all this natural medicine, etc. So yeah, I read all these labels on the water, and the water heals a lot. Yeah, but. Actually, you know that that coffee 3-in-1, right? So I'm the one who is 3-in-1 as well. What do I mean? Like, one, that invisible leg, I'm in university as well, in academia, I mean, not only as scientist, but I have my own course, which is called Sustainable Solutions and Innovations, which is about ESG and life-centric business models and how we can implement. And my students are master students in the second year, which are already in businesses. Mm. So this is one of my missions, which is totally not monetary, but here I really see a very big mission that I can add. And I get, again, can spread the message and help to implement it during the course immediately into practice. Another part is when my small invisible leg is an innovation agency, which is governmental agency, belongs to Economy Minister of Lithuania, in Economy and Innovations Ministry in Lithuania. Yeah, so I am an sustainable innovations expert there, and I help startups in acceleration programs. I give consultations for companies as well. Yeah. So my topics again is, as you know, what it is. Another, my leg is in business, in the real world, and I'm always in the real world. Mm. Yeah, but because it's like you can't talk about what you do not do, right?
Exactly.
And that giving back to a society is startups, mm. startups, yeah. Impact startups, mm. tech for good startups. So my own ambition is to see more and more businesses following and adopting life-centric business model. And it is very, very easy to measure. It is very easy to measure through people.
Mm.
Because like, one is what you must to tell, but another what you really tell in corridors and during events, during informal events, and etc. So I feel sometimes as a spy, and this is how do I measure personally, and this is how do we measure personal in our company through our activities, for our programs, for our training programs as well. So I really don't like this word coach, business coach, and because it's so popular and everybody now, everybody is consultant, coach, advisor, and whatever, just name all, we are trainers and we will train you how to learn, and I will train you how to make nine figures. How did I make nine figures? Training you how to make nine figures. It's like, this is not what I really love. My ambition is to see much more small businesses, family businesses, more artisan businesses, which are adopting technologies for to create the better world for us ourselves all together, for to see more cooperations instead of competitions. Because actually, all of us, we know that Blue Ocean Strategy, right? And so what Blue Ocean Strategy is about is about your uniqueness. It doesn't matter how small you are one or two or three people company or which is expanding, but you need to have your own uniqueness. So if those who are startup ecosystem builders, those who are acting in ecosystem and can connect dots, right? If we help people to find this uniqueness, we do not need to compete. You have a podcast, I have a podcast, but we can contribute each to another one, right?
Exactly.
I have because we touch different angles.
But otherwise, yes.
No, our podcast is in English as well, so but, just video yep. one. Yeah, but anyway, even if we are talking about similar topics, if we are really approaching similar people, but we have collaborate a lot, and together we can impact much more.
Of course. I totally agree on that. I think that would be a lovely point to wrap up, but to wrap up, I have to ask, how's the spare part business is doing?
Which one?
Your dad's spare part business.
Oh, it's doing still amazing. My daddy, he sold his part. He went to wholesale, established another one, but the production house, which was with his partner, it's still growing and growing and growing, and even myself, I was involved in many innovations which we are doing until now. We are in bread sector, machinery, cutting edges and etc., and we are exporting so much, and it's very, very sustainable or sustainability orientated. So I'm very, very happy to see. But the most important part is I remember when I was 12, and it was just the beginning because it was after privatization of, not private, but
state-owned.
state-owned sector. We just bought this company and they started to run it. We still didn't have logo. I mentioned a little bit, my mom is designer. So me, with paint, you remember paint, I draw a logo with my mom sitting back there. She's not tech at all. I am tech, very tech, and she's zero tech. So not zero waste, but zero tech. And so we draw with this paint, and this logo until now.
Still there.
Yes.
So cool.
I'm so happy about that.
That's a real life-centric business.
But it came from heart of my mom.
Yeah.
And me, with all my heart, I draw it with paint.
So cool. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Are you a fan of classic cinema or a young person who wants to discover the best films of all times? Do these legendary movies still hold up?
On the Generation Film Podcast, two guys who grew up when movies dominated the culture share a great film with a panel of young movie lovers and see how it plays for today's generation.
We discuss changes in storytelling, styles, representation,
the making of each film, its initial reception, and how its meaning has changed over the years.
Join us as we explore cinema classics across generations on Generation Film.
Electric acid. Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production. Electricast.